today on Between the Covers.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for joining us today on Between the Covers. I'm your host, Bethany Grabo.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Portland Underground Grad School. Classes that begin in March include Introduction to Music Theory, A Moment of Possibility, Finding Opportunity in Our Differences, Financial Freedom, Getting Empowered About Money in Your Life, and more. Portland Underground Grad School is also known as PUGS. Classes take place all over Portland metro area. Information about registering, teaching classes, and more can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
This KBOO program has been made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Laurelhurst Theater and Pub, Portland's neighborhood theater since 1924. Independently owned and operated, featuring modern, independent, and classic films, microbrews, pizza, and salads. Located at East Burnside and 28th in Portland. LaurelhurstTheater.com.
Welcome to the film show on KBOO. I'm S.W. Konser, and I'll be joined in just a few minutes by my co-host, Jen Chavez. Jen is visiting with Joaquin Lopez and Michael Gibson of Latino Network, and we'll be hearing all about the special event they're putting together at the Hollywood Theater. It features a classic drama from the era of the Hollywood blacklist, Salt of the Earth. And I'll be hoping to talk with Christopher Kirkley and Madhu Mokhtar. Christopher is the director and Madhu is the star of the Nigerian film known as The Tuareg Purple Rain. It's one of the special features at the Cascade Festival of African Films, which is continuing this week and next at Portland Community College. But first, let's welcome to the studio a filmmaker who has assembled an amazing local crew to produce his first feature film. It's a micro-budget comedy called Shut Up, Anthony. Kyle Eaton, welcome to the film show.
Thanks for having me.
We're hearing right now a snippet of music from the soundtrack to your film, Shut Up, Anthony. And the composer is an incredible talent. He's an award-winning local musician who's scored such major films as Nebraska and The Box Trolls.
Yeah, Mark Orton is an amazing composer, and he is based here in Portland, Oregon, too. So also just really great to have someone of that caliber and talent locally here. And we were able to connect and collaborate on this project. And he really elevated the film with his music and his talent, and took the movie to a completely different level of quality. One of the first and main things I hear back from the few people that have started responding to the film is the soundtrack. They're really impressed with Mark's work, and I was just very lucky to be able to collaborate with him and work with him.
Well, sound is such a major part, and some listeners may remember the original soundtrack that Mark Orton composed for the Buster Keaton film The General, which was shot in Cottage Grove, Oregon.
Yeah, and we were talking just a little bit before we went on
the air. You had to sneak into the screening because it was sold out, both screenings.
It was, for anybody that was not able to make it, they missed out, because it was a really incredible live piece of theater as he played live to the show as well. And they traveled with it around Oregon as well, but the Hollywood screenings were just pretty incredible to witness and be a part of.
Well, let's talk about this film, Shut Up, Anthony. You shot this film all over Oregon. You had to juggle the schedules of all the crew members, and you did the whole thing in, what, 11 shooting days?
Yeah, so it's a micro-budget movie, and so that basically means zero budget for us. I think maybe the definition of micro-budget is anything below $250,000, and we would have loved to have even had something like that. We really were just doing this with of a skeleton crew with available time. And we started in the summer, August and of 2014, and kind of worked on weekends, and we broke it up into four chunks, really just due to crew's availability. And we have a lot of really talented crew here in Portland, Oregon, that I've been able to form relationships with over the years. So we were able to work together. But yeah, we shot over 11 days. There was like six of those were in Eastern Oregon and Bend, and then four here in Portland. And then we had another day on a highway near Mount Hood.
Well, that shows how experience just comes together to make something happen. Well, you know, and here's the thing. It's like you see things on Craigslist saying, hey, I want somebody to shoot my film and there's no pay, but just trust me, you're going to be a big name afterwards. You obviously have worked with so many people and helped out in their projects. That's kind of how it happens.
Yeah, I think going even back to just the word budget, that normally is associated, I guess, with money. But I really think the currency here, it was relationships. That
right.
was definitely, that was what our budget was all of these deep, long, rooted of years in years of working together relationships. Yeah. And some of these crew members were people I met in film school that we graduated with together and worked with together. And then our DPs were DPs I met in 2010 here in Portland, and we've just done a lot of other indie films and television shows together. And so when it came time to go, it wasn't posting on Craigslist looking for someone to come help. It was some really close friends that were also very, you know, they're talented, they're better than me, and they made me better just by showing up and work and, you know, putting in their skills and their experience into this project. Yeah.
Well, one of the people who that you impressed along the way came aboard as your producer. He's a fellow who puts together a local TV series. I hear that's fairly popular.
Yeah, David Kress is behind the IFC show Portlandia that shoots here in Portland, and has become a nice staple here for the city. For they've, you know, seven seasons now, and I think they've got another season coming up. So I remember talking with David, and it was kind of it came together pretty quickly in terms of like how the whole film got off the ground. My other producer, Matt O'Connor, who I went to college with and graduated with, and we worked together, and then Robert D'Esposito, who also is the star of the movie, we're talking about this project, and we were kind of not even necessarily sure if it was going to be a reality. And as soon as I kind of mentioned to David what it is, what we were trying to do, he immediately just started calling in favors from all of these local vendors. And the next thing I knew, we were just deep into our pre-production, and the ball has started rolling. And David has been just a really great supporter of all local Portland film, but especially of this one in particular. And I'm really grateful for that. Yeah.
Well, we were hoping to hear from Christopher Kirkley and Madhu Mokhtar. Christopher is the director, and Madhu is the star of the Niger film known as The Tuareg Purple Rain. But Kyle, we'd like to have you stick around. We've got live radio here, and maybe we'll hear a little bit more about your low-budget film, Shut Up, Anthony. But first, what we want to do is I want to talk with my co-host, Jen Chavez. Jen is visiting with Joaquin Lopez and Michael Gibson of Latino Network. They're putting together a special presentation featuring the film Salt of the Earth.
Women who got nothing to do with the strike. Somehow they heard about the women's picket line, and they came.
Standing by the water, we shall not be moved.
The 1954 film Salt of the Earth is a fictionalized retelling of a labor strike by predominantly Mexican-American miners in New Mexico. The workers in the film, led by Ramon Quintero, fight for months for better working conditions and equal treatment to their white counterparts. But the film is told from the perspective of Ramon's pregnant wife, Esperanza. As the strike continues, she and the women of the miners' camp join the struggle in a film before its time for its feminist message. In Portland, the advocacy group Latino Network will screen The Salt of the Earth on March 13th as part of its ongoing Olin social justice film series at the Hollywood Theater. This week, I sat down with Latino Network's arts and culture program manager, Joaquin Lopez, and its development coordinator, Michael Gibson, to learn more. Joaquin and Michael, thank you very much for joining me today.
Thank you for having us, Jen.
Thank you very much for having us.
Yeah, so I'd love if you could start by telling us a little about the Olin series that you're presenting at the Hollywood. How did you identify film as a powerful tool for communicating about social justice and about Latino Network's mission?
At Latino Network, our mission is to positively empower the lives of Latino youth, families, and community. Our programs range from early childhood education programs to college prep programs, grassroots leadership programs for adults, and executive leadership programs for leaders here in Oregon. And I came on recently, about 2 years ago, when arts and culture was decided to be nurtured here at Latino Network. So our arts and culture programs include after-school programming, a dance troupe that dances ballet folklorico, and the cultural events that Latino Network participates in with various partnerships here in Portland. Olin Film Service was born in response to the election, and I am on the board of the Hollywood Theater, and I got an email from Doug White, the director over there, the executive director. I got an email from him about 2 or 3 weeks after the election. He was just checking in. We're friends. He was asking me how I'm doing, and he's been thinking a lot about me. And I let him know how we responded. And after the election, we held an organization-wide staff meeting to help everybody debrief and work through their feelings. And then we immediately began work on creating forums for the community that included lawyers, police, government officials to listen to what was being asked and offer any insight. The questions that we were getting from families are, am I going to be deported? Kids were asking us if their parents are going to be gone, or what's going to happen to them when their parents are gone. So we did these forums, and as I was responding to Doug, Doug was just shocked and disheartened and disenchanted, and felt that he just, he had no idea how grave the situation was, and he felt helpless. So we just kept emailing each other, and he offered, you know, the Hollywood Theater really supports you guys. We support your work, and whatever you need, just let us know. We went back and forth, and we decided to screen a film after the inauguration. The film that we landed on was Pan's Labyrinth. The themes are very congruent to what's happening now in the current state of affairs with the government. But there was a small little thing that I couldn't let go of, that the film had a Spanish narrative from Spain. And so much of the tension are about immigration with Latin American countries. So I wanted to feature a film that captured that as well. So we decided to not just have a one-off evening, but we're gonna have a series, a film series. What was born was Olin, social justice film series. The Olin is the Nahuatl word for movement and signifies to move with heart and be filled with heart as you're moving.
That brings us up to next month. On March 13th, you'll be screening the 1954 classic Salt of the Earth. It's based upon a miners' labor strike in New Mexico, and the film was blacklisted and highly controversial at the time. You know, when we think about like Cesar Chavez and the United Farm Workers, labor movements are a huge part of Latinx history. What are some of the themes around Latinx identity this film highlights?
I think that the movie highlights machismo. In particular, it emphasizes the workers' wives going on strike for them, and the wives of the workers, the miners, having to deal with racism and sexism from both sides, both from their husbands and from the mining corporation.
Mm-hmm. I wanted to ask a little bit more about that issue in particular, because it's also a strongly feminist film. And currently there's this big emphasis on intersectional feminism, intersectional social justice struggles, which means looking at overlapping oppressions and how they interact. Do you think that this film relates to that idea at all?
Oh, yeah. When we were researching the film, Michael came across an article that spoke about the experience that the actress had.
Oh, yeah. Quite a fascinating story. The production of the film was plagued by many attempts at sabotaging it. One of the most egregious acts of sabotage was the main actress being deported back to Mexico during the production of the film. So certain scenes to conclude the movie's production had to be shot in Mexico, and as far as I'm aware, she was never allowed to return back to America.
This was also during the McCarthy era, and the director was considered one of, what were they called?
The Hollywood 10, the blacklisted directors. It was a very contentious time. The movie saw a very, very limited release due to the Red Scare and government misgivings.
And the actors weren't professional actors. There were like how many professional actors on the set?
There were probably two or three. Most of the actors in the film were actual minors, very similar to the fictional minors in the film. It adds some sort of additional realism to the film, and it brings up this interesting question about leadership, how the workers can empower their own lives and their own situation through this movie, as well as the director making this work of art to show the plight of the workers there.
I think also with having the miners who were directly impacted by the strikes and by those laws at the time be the actors in the movie, they are the authors of this narrative, and they are the voices that are being heard from their specific experience. And I think that in itself is very powerful. This movie was backed by unions. It was a tool to inspire people into action, to show a reflection of the good that can happen when people come together.
So at the screening of Salt of the Earth on the 13th, after the film, there will be a discussion with several people who are in regional politics. State Representative Diego Hernandez and Andrea Valderrama, a policy advisor with the City of Portland. What do you hope they might highlight in terms of how this film relates to our current political situation and how it relates to current social justice struggles?
When we decided to bring in elected officials into the conversation in our talkbacks, it was for their response about the films, and really it was to help us connect with public officials on a very human level. Public officials make decisions every day, and we are impacted directly by that. But we don't know who they are sometimes. This allows us to understand a little more about their personal lives, why they do what they do, and how it connects them to the film. The first film with Pan's Labyrinth, Nick Fish was our elected official, and he had a connection to Spain's fascist government. You can't quote me here, but I think it's his wife that was...
His mother-in-law had to flee Franco, Spain.
Yeah.
Really?
And then they came here.
Allowed them to meet and settle here.
And then Nick Fish and his wife met here because of that, you know? And so he shared it, and I was like, wow. So what we expect to have for the 13th is Andrea and Diego. Andrea and Diego have been around the scene for many, many years, and in fact, are best friends. And they're both very passionate Latino leaders in our area. And what I hope to get out is their personal connection to the labor unions, to the struggle, to what they did to move forward, and how they move forward with other people along with them, and how they vision and follow through with their vision for the betterment of everybody here.
That was Joaquin Lopez and Michael Gibson of the Latino Network. Their upcoming film screening, happening on March 13th at 7:30 p.m. at the Hollywood Theater, will also feature info about the Latino Network and ways to volunteer. The series' next installment on April 13th will feature the film El Norte, about indigenous Guatemalans who immigrate to Los Angeles in the 1980s. More info at hollywoodtheater.org. This is Jen Chavez for The Film Show.
Thank you, Jen. Jen Chavez was talking with Joaquin Lopez and Michael Gibson of Latino Network. Again, Salt of the Earth will be screening as part of the Olean Social Justice Film Series. That's happening March 13th at the Hollywood Theater in Portland. You're listening to The Film Show on KABU. I'm SW Conser, and we are back in the studio again with Kyle Eaton. He is the director of the new micro-budget movie, Shut Up, Anthony. Yes, Kyle, so let's talk some more about this film that you shot. This is, we said you shot it in about 11 shooting days. You had a crew of people that you've all worked with before. And let's talk about the actual story itself, because this was not a tight script at all. This was a story that you had some talented actors working with you on.
Yeah, well, yeah. So, I mean, I guess if you based off the title, you can imagine that it's about a character, Anthony, who talks too much. He's a little garrulous. He's a neurotic, kind of creative, grinding out a living at a Portland ad firm, kind of in like the art department. And over the course of the first section of the film, the first few days, he not only loses his girlfriend, but he also loses his job, and he decides to hit the road and go out to a family timeshare in Bend, Oregon. And there is where he encounters an estranged family friend, Tim, who is a theology professor who's also a closeted kind of alcoholic. And so he says he's down there to prepare his curriculum for the next year. And really, he's actually there just to drink a lot of vodka. And so put himself in some bad situations. And the two are just kind of forced to share the space as they clash over relationships and religion and coaster etiquette. And it's definitely a comedy, but I would call it a serious comedy, or maybe even like a comedic drama, in that there's not a lot of big jokes in it. It's just we did a lot of improvisational dialogue and let the cameras roll, so everything's kind of grounded in this real reality. So the comedy comes from the situations that these characters are in, not necessarily the jokes that they're saying, but they are. The cast is primarily comprised of improvisers and local comics and from Portland. Yeah, so
it sounds like you actually gave your actors some room to develop these characters. Kind of like maybe a Mike Lee film or something like that, where they started interacting with each other, and so you had more time before the shooting started when they got to know each other, and they melded really well.
Yeah, well, I mean, I played would be off each other well for that comparison, yeah, right. But to Mike Lee, yeah, I kind of just tried to get out of the way as much as possible. We were not necessarily interested in photographing a screenplay as more just, I guess, documenting the situation that we put these guys in. And
you made another comparison to Larry David of Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Well, at least their shooting style, for sure. That's where the script is really tight, and like we said, there's 11 days, right? So we didn't have the luxury to just show up to set and be like, what do we want to do today? We had a script for sure. But once we knew what we were doing, we let everybody just roll. We had two cameras. We shot when we could across coverage just to let these long conversations play out in a very naturalistic and at times comedic way. And two of our, we had like multiple DPs on this that kind of all helped and shot it, and sometimes very formally and also in very kind of documentary style. And two of those work primarily on Portlandia too. So there's a lot of that. I don't even want to say documentary, but they were on their toes, and they followed let the actors kind of roll, and it's pretty exciting. I'm really proud of all of their work, the actors and the crew.
Now, there is certainly a way to do a micro-budget film right, where you don't disappoint anybody. Obviously, you turned in your film on time and on budget, such as it was. But yeah, I mean, obviously, you have to take care of everybody. You have to feed everybody. You have to you have to take care of their concerns. You have to work together. It's a little bit of a community building exercise.
Yeah, and that's sort of why I think we worked as hard on it, of course, as we did. Not that the goal was to ever not work hard on the project, but you just have a responsibility for all of these, this time that's being put in and all of this effort. And so we would kind of just take it stage by stage. And once, you know, even down when like Mark Orton joined, I was like, now it's this thing, and it's better than I thought it could be. And so we're going to keep going as hard as we can in terms of getting it across the finish line. So yeah, I'm really happy that it's where we're at right now.
Right. We mentioned Mark Orton. I want to mention again the award-winning composer who scored Nebraska and the Box Trolls. He's one of the real big names here in the Portland music community. And how did you hook up with Mark Orton?
My assistant editor had collaborated with Mark Orton, Ben Mercer, and he just wanted to put me in touch. He started dropping in some of Mark's temp in our early edit. And
so you had a little running track of his music while you were
kind of
putting the film together.
Yeah, and then finally we just met, and I sat down with Mark, and next thing I know, we were just watching the whole movie together. I didn't even know if that was necessarily scheduled, but we were just in his studio, and he obviously connected to it and wanted to collaborate. And so we just moved forward. And next thing we know, we were just sending stuff back, and he was creating an original score. And Mark is also a great, I guess just I'm looking for the word. He just has a lot of musicians and relationships here in Portland as well. So I was also able to reach out and build a soundtrack around Mark's music too. Oh, so wow. Richmond Fontaine and Annalisa Tornfeld and Barna Howard and Caleb Clowder. These are just some of local Portland musicians that I love that I also was just super excited and honored to have their music be in the film as well.
And obviously they gave you a break. They didn't charge you their full rates or anything.
Yeah, we had to talk. I mean, I think everybody understood what the project was, and we're still, this is the beginning of us putting it out into the world. So we're excited to see what happens with that. So, yeah.
Well, the film, again, micro budget film from Kyle Eaton. It's called Shut Up, Anthony. And Kyle, this is making the rounds. It's going to be playing at an event in San Jose, and then it's coming back to Portland at the Hollywood Theater in March, is that right?
Yeah, that's correct. So March 2nd down in San Jose and the Bay Area, it's having its world premiere at the Cinequest Film Festival. And I'm a fan of that festival, and I'm really excited to be premiering the film there. A bunch of us are all going to go down and pile into an Airbnb and spend a week down there. And so that's a week from today. And then a few weeks from today as well, on Thursday, March 16th at the Hollywood Theater, we're kind of putting on a public cast and crew screening. So obviously this is an event for everybody that worked on it to see the film, but we're in the main theater and Hollywood's hosting it. And so we've also opened it up to the public, and we're excited to share it with Portland. And I'm hoping this isn't the last screening. It's just the beginning, but we definitely would love for everyone to come out on March 16th at the Hollywood Theater.
How can people find out more?
They can go to hollywoodtheater.org and look up Shut Up Anthony. And I think you'll go through their events page, and you can buy tickets there.
Well, best of luck, Kyle Eaton, and thanks for joining us today on The Film Show.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
I'm SW Conser, and now let's join up with Jen, who has this month's film events calendar.
Here's a few local film events coming up in the next month. Tonight and tomorrow, February 23rd and 24th, local film collective The Cinema Project presents its end-of-season event, Abstraction, Difference, and Presence, the work of Jean-Paul Kelly. They'll showcase short film and video works by Kelly, an artist exploring the relationship between materiality and perception with found photographs, videos, and sounds. Show starts each night at 7:30 p.m. at NXT Industries on Southeast MLK Boulevard. Details at cinemaproject.org. On March 2nd at 7 p.m., Vancouver, BC filmmaker Alex McKenzie will visit the Northwest Film Center to present his experimental work, Apparitions. The dual projector performance is an example of expanded cinema. And on March 4th, McKenzie will teach a workshop on the form, Expanded Cinema, Apparatus, and Methodology, at 10 a.m. at the Northwest Film Center. More info at nwfilm.org. March 2nd through 5th marks the return of the Portland, Oregon Women's Film Festival, or POWFEST. The 10th annual festival features award-winning director Cheryl Dunier as its guest of honor, as well as film premieres from students of the POW Girls Filmmaking Program. As a festival preview on February 26th, local filmmaker Irene Taylor Brodsky will introduce and discuss her new HBO documentary, Beware the Slender Man. Events at the Hollywood Theater and Northwest Documentary. For more details, visit POWFest.com. On March 7th, the ongoing series Real Feminism presents Reproductive Justice Night, starting at 7 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater. This month's screening will be a double feature of films about restrictions on reproductive health in the 50s, 60s, and 70s. First up, Jane and Abortion Service, and then A Girl Like Her. More info at cstpdx.com. On March 9th at 8 p.m., the Northwest Film Center will feature Rhythm Assemblies, a collection of films by Seattle filmmaker Reed O'Burney. Works ranging his 23-year career include a film about the WTO protests in Seattle, a modern interpretation of the Persephone myth, and a cameraless film created from animated MRI scans. Details at nwfilm.org. On March 16th, KABU's own film series at the Clinton Street Theater continues with a 7 p.m. screening of Dark Circle. The documentary focuses on the connections between the nuclear weapons and the nuclear power industries, with an emphasis on their human and environmental costs. More info at cstpdx.com or at our website, kboo.fm. On March 17th through the 23rd, Cinema 21 will host I Wake Up Dreaming, a week-long film noir festival.
Details are coming soon at cinema21.org. And that about wraps it up for this month's film calendar. Have a good month, folks.
Thank you, Jen. And thanks to our guests today, Joaquin Lopez and Michael Gibson and Kyle Eaton. Thanks also to the Oregon Media Production Association for their support and collaboration. And thanks to all our listeners on the radio dial and on the web. The audio for this show will be available later today on our archive page, kboo.fm/thefilmshow. And you can keep up with us on Twitter at @KBOOFilmShow. Now stay tuned for an afternoon of music on your homegrown Portland radio station.
Shocks of Sheba has been made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Edgefield Concerts, announcing a show with Ziggy Marley this June. Also presenting shows with Huey Lewis, Ryan Adams, Diana Krall, and more this summer. Ziggy Marley tickets on sale Friday at edgefieldconcerts.com. And by The Garden Spout, specializing in indoor gardening equipment, including horticultural lighting, environmental control, hydroponic and organic nutrients, and pest control. The Garden Spout is located at 4532 Southeast 63rd, just south of Foster in Portland. Information at 503-788-GROW. Welcome to Shocks of Sheba.